Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Today, antioxidants, 8-week mindfulness training, grapefruit juice, low levels of air pollution, and highly processed foods. That's what we're going to unpack right now. From the University of Connecticut, Louisiana State University, North Carolina University, South Carolina University, and California University, they've all come to this research paper saying that antioxidants may reduce oxidative stress in men with prostate cancer. Now, prostate cancer takes a long time to develop, but it's extraordinarily deadly. And that's why I believe that as a snack, men should be eating pumpkin seeds, because pumpkin seeds are one of the best single sources of nutrients that can fight this. But then the key here is antioxidants. And the key to antioxidants is the higher overarching complex called, and by the way, this is, everyone should know this by now, ORAC. ORAC means the total impact of all the antioxidants upon your body. The higher the ORAC value of a given food, the more antioxidants are going to be utilized at the cellular level to help the biochemistry. And remember, every single food does more than just supply you with some macronutrients, you know, fiber, protein, carbohydrate, essential fatty acids, vitamins and minerals. It does something far more important. It also has an electrical charge, something we never hear discussed, but I did an awful lot of research on this as a scientist at the Institute of Applied Biology. In fact, I even had a really interesting scientist from the University of Rome come over and spent about 6 months. We were doing this research. He had invented this machine, and we were doing this research on what was the energy value, not the bomb calorimetric, let's say, readings of a calorie, but rather something that is not seen, something that is not discussed. What is the vital life force of a fruit or vegetable, nut or seed, or anything else? I had done a lot of work and evidently heard about it, and he had invented this way of measuring this electrical force. And that's where I started to see that we took 1,000 rats that would normally live about 12 months. And I wanted to see, by dividing them into different categories, what was making the major change in their health and longevity. And I found it was the energy of the environment and everything they were given. For example, when you didn't play any music, the score was zero. When you played light classical music or meditative music or flute music or harp music, the de-stressing level contributed to longevity. Now, it took years to do all this because these were all pieces of a puzzle that had to be brought together. But then I found that when I would give them only foods on a scale of 1 to 10 that would go 9 or 10, those are the super healing foods. And yet they're only looked upon as if they have antioxidants. So we could say that oranges are not a super food. They're a good food. They're a good source of bioflavonoids. And vitamin C in its natural form. But then we just found out about 3 months ago that we've been mismeasuring the amount of antioxidants in oranges forever, and it's about 700% higher than what we gave it credit for. So having that fresh-made glass of orange juice in the morning is far healthier than what we'd assume. Same way with your arterial system. A glass of grapefruit juice helps your arteries, helps keep them pliable and soft and expanded, so your blood can go through it easier, less likelihood of having a stroke or heart attack. But more than that, it's if you just took the antioxidants based upon the milligrams of a given nutrient, lycopene, whatever it might be, that's only part of the story. More important part of the story is what happens when you concentrate not just the antioxidants, but rather concentrate the energy. And that's where I came up with the scientific principle of the laws of compensation. To the degree that you have an imbalance in your body or your mind or your spirit, then you have to overcompensate. You have to put the dominant energy into the correcting of that so that you have a new energy that supersedes the old energy. And that takes a great deal of discipline and focus. And that's why we don't use that today, because it takes a great deal of discipline and focus. There was a nurse in California, and I just pre-recorded her this morning. And this nurse, we played a segment of her at a town meeting about a year ago. And she was talking about how then, she's a cardiac pediatric nurse, and she see all these children coming in who have been vaccinated with myocarditis and heart attacks. And everyone in her hospital that she told this to said, shut up, don't talk about it. Okay. That really frustrated her. She loved her job. She loved what she was doing, and she was fired because nobody wanted her to report these to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And she thought that was unethical and immoral, and it was causing people not to know, especially parents, what would be the likely outcome if their child was vaccinated. And we weren't being given the truth. Well, she told the truth. Now in this brand new segment, nothing has changed. Nothing. So I checked to see how many nurses are there. Well, there are 5.5 million more or less nurses. A lot more nurses than doctors, about 900,000 more or less doctors. There was a statistic out there that's on the internet of 55,000 doctors. That's completely wrong. In any case, why is it that 5.5 million nurses who communicate with one another, why is it they haven't gone on general strike to be able to be treated with respect, be able to do their nursing as they know that can save lives, but when they see something's wrong, they're not punished for calling it out? Why haven't doctors, why haven't professors challenged the curriculum or how they've lost control of the classroom? Why is it that the police don't expose those in their ranks who shouldn't be police? They shouldn't be there. They're dangerous. They're homicidal. And yet, when they don't say anything and don't do anything, then suddenly someone must think that all police, all 800,000 or 900,000, are as guilty as the ones that we see doing terrible things against humanity. And then it goes back to something I'm going to talk about after the break. I just want to hold that thought because it came to a solution. I think it's really interesting. At least for me, it's interesting. Hopefully you'll find it also of interest, because now you can understand so much more about human nature and why it's easier to predict behavior than what we had assumed. But in any case, the key is that if we know that the most important thing in life that we share is energy, why not then start doing studies on what is the power of a positive thought and what is the power of a negative thought? What is the power to our body? Well, we have those studies. I forgot. We have thousands of those studies. It's called epigenetic science. So then why, if we have all this knowledge that if we're around negative people, around a toxic environment, that it directly and immediately impacts our central nervous system and the electrical charges to the heart, can cause a regular heartbeat and can cause a heart attack? You literally can die of stress. In fact, the Japanese actually have a word in their vocabulary that describes working yourself to death, because so many Japanese people literally work themselves to death. Okay. You got a word for it, and you do it. Why don't you challenge it? But they won't. In any case, that's why nothing's going to change. And then when I say nothing, I mean nothing good's going to change. But when it comes to your body and it comes to your prostate, understand something, that the energy that you put in your body with the French fries, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the pizzas, the potato chips, all of that is a negative energy. And it doesn't have the antioxidants, and as a result, doesn't have the ORAC. And without that big ORAC in your body doesn't have the armamentarium it needs to stave off free radical and pro-inflammatory, of which there are many, tumor necrosis factor alpha, etc., interleukins. They attack the cells. They destroy the cells or damage the cells, and you could be preventing that substantially. but you've got to take the antioxidants. And that's what this paper showed from all these scientists. And they researched the biomarkers of antioxidant stress, because that's what it's antioxidant stress. Focus upon the word stress in the blood, the urine, and prostate tissue. They found a far greater antioxidant intake was associated with a lower urinary 8-isoprostane concentration. And a 10% increase, which is small, in antioxidant intake, that might be eating one extra apple a day, saw an unadjusted 1.1% decrease in urinary 8-isoprostane levels. And isoprostane has been described as the reliable marker and recognized gold standard for lipid peroxidation, the oxidative degradation of lipids. Well, look at the lipids you consume. The fats you consume are degrading into toxins. Quote, this study demonstrated that intake of antioxidants was associated with less oxidative stress among men with incident prostate cancer. That was published in the British Medical Journal. So that's big news, because we're not talking about a few thousand or even a few hundred thousand. We're talking about a lot of men having prostate cancer. But before you get the cancer, you get elevated PSA. Are they telling you to take saw palmetto, isoflavones, shiitake mushrooms, maitake defraction mushroom? No, none of the above. If it's not a drug, it doesn't get prescribed. So I'm telling you what to do, men, to protect your prostate and protect yourself from prostate cancer. The more fruits and vegetables you consume, the more oxidative stress is reduced. The more oxidative stress is reduced, the more inflammation is turned down or off. When you turn it down and off, then you have the body's ability to go in and start repairing the damage. From the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, high-intensity exercise changes how muscle cells manage calcium. Remember, for you to make a fist and relax, constrict and relax, requires calcium. It's true of all your muscles, even true for your heart. That's why you have to have a balance of calcium and magnesium in the diet. Well, in the scientific journal PMAS, they found how the antioxidants was able to impact endurance training, so you can train longer, recover faster, and just by understanding that when you do intense exercise, and if you did 5 minutes of intense exercise per workout, or if you were jogging at a 10-minute mile and then you suddenly went down to an 8-minute mile for a half mile, or if you were power walking at a 16-minute per mile pace and then you suddenly went for 100 yards at a 12-minute pace, that intensity of the exercise does you a tremendous amount of good when it comes to the exercise. All right? So, and also from Brown University comes a study about 8 weeks of mindfulness training can lower your blood pressure for months. Now, remember I said that each day when I'm just sitting in nature for about a half hour and I go into a very relaxed place and I just keep thinking over and over again, allowing no other thoughts in my mind, about de-stressing, de-stress, 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 and doing it with each breath, taking deep diaphragmatic breathing and relax. Diaphragmatic breathing and de-stress. So you keep doing that, watch your blood pressure go down. So this is what this study shows. And a team with the American Heart Association found that 8 weeks of mindfulness training significantly lowers systolic blood pressure and readings, the top number in the blood pressure measurement. And the training focused on attention control, meditation, self-awareness, and emotional regulation. That's why when bad situations happen, I just don't get angry about it. What's the point? It's just information. Someone else is yelling and screaming. I'm not going to yell and scream. What is the point? So the more mindful you are, the better your exercise, the better your health, And remember, mindfulness can take you to a non-judgmental place where you see things for what they are, and then you decide what your perception will be from staying mindful, rather than just everything is emotion, fight, 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 fight. And the French National Institutes of Agriculture Research found that grapefruit juice supports healthy arteries. I mentioned that earlier. Why? Because they found a particular phytonutrient called naringenin, N-A-R-I-N-G-E-N, G-E-N-I-N, N-A-R-I-N, excuse me, I-N-G-E-N-I-N. It actually improved the marker associated with artery function. This was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And low levels of air pollution is deadlier than previously thought. This is from McGill University. So you don't have to see the particulate matter for it to be there, and you're breathing it in at a microscopic toxic level, and that can cause cardiovascular and respiratory diseases and cancers. This is in Science Advances, quote, we found that outdoor parts per million, 2.5 may be responsible for as many as 1.5 million additional deaths around the globe each year because of effects of very low concentrations that were not previously appreciated. So we thought we had to see air pollution, dirty air, like seeing dirty water. Well, what if I gave you a glass of water and it had aluminum, it had mercury, it had all forms of bacteria, E. coli, Listeria, you couldn't see any of it, but your body would know when you drank it. So we have to try just to pay more attention to the micro elements in our life. And finally, from University of Michigan and Virginia Tech University comes a study about highly processed foods, as the average American and British diet, can be considered addictive like tobacco products. Wow. So that's when you get the sugar craving and you want the sugar hit. Yeah, and this was published in the current edition of Addiction. It triggers a compulsive use of something, makes it more difficult for them to stop it. That's the latest on health and healing. And by the way, for those of you who just like to hear the health nutrition information, which is fine, it's easy to do. You can get the newsletter every day. And that newsletter can then give you all of the health. You can read it, take your time. It's all resourced, and it's free. All you have to do is, let me just spell it out for you. You can go to GaryNall.com, scroll down, click on newsletter. It'll take you to GaryNall.substack.com. For the thousands of people who are getting their newsletter every day, you've got a whole lot more that you haven't seen yet that we've posted. We have so much. I'm going to post thousands up there. So everything that I can find from qualified peer-reviewed literature that can allow us to live longer and healthier life, prevent disease, I'm going to share it with you. We're going to take a brief break. We're 20 minutes into our program. Come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. For the past four broadcasts, I've done an in-depth original investigative reporting essay or commentary to take you to the issues that we're not paying attention to, that we're not doing anything about, as if somehow something that's deleterious is going to go away on its own. It won't. But the fact that I'm sharing it doesn't mean that we're going to have any national action against it. Some activists will certainly use it because they do. However, the average person will not, and I'll get to that in a moment. And today I have the next one, but I'm not going to do the whole thing. It's posted on GaryNall.com, and you can watch it for yourself. You can read it. But I do want to share just the highlights because of something that was put in the New York Times. They were complaining, they meaning the people of New York City, were complaining because now on so many of the streets, you see these tall towers, some towers being between 20 and 30 feet high, just ugly blights. The emphasis was upon ugly blights, not a word about what do they do. Well, they're 5G. Does that mean that by having that tower, we're easier to connect on all the different networks? Yeah, it is. Now, what about the side effects? Oh, we didn't know there were side effects. Yes, there are a lot of side effects. I'm just going to take 3 minutes to go over this. Again, it would otherwise be about a 25-minute read. Here's what the actual peer-reviewed scientific literature shows over 10,000 studies. You'll see Dr. Deborah Davis, Dr. Martin Paul, about electromagnetic frequencies' adverse effect. You'll see government legislators hearing this and doing not a thing about it. By the way, Dr. Paul is professor emeritus of biochemistry and medical sciences, Washington State University, talking to the National Institutes of Health. But nothing was done. Here's what you need to know that the New York Times will not tell you because they're a major sponsor of 5G. Low fertility, meaning alters the structure of the testes and ovaries, lowers sperm count and the number of egg follicles, increases spontaneous abortion, and lowers the level of three sex hormones. Neurological and neuropsychiatric effects. There's been a dramatic increase in conditions using mobile phones, the internet, the wireless technologies, insomnia, fatigue, depression, headaches, cognitive dysfunction, anxiety, loss of memory. In animals, those are human studies, but in animal studies, it's been shown that electromagnetic frequencies produce major changes in brain structure, which is likely happening to everyone who uses a cell phone extensively. Then you have cellular DNA damage. There are three types of DNA damage observed in electromagnetic frequency exposure: single, double DNA breaks, and oxidative DNA bases. These can cause cancer and mutations in the sexual germlines. Then there is programmed cell death. It contributes to this by it turns on the reproductive neurodegenerative system. There's oxidative stress, what I was talking about earlier. Free radical damage has been associated with numerous health conditions: cancer, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, myocardial infarction, stroke, chronic inflammation, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, cellular death, and aging. Then you have endocrine effects. Every hormone system in the body is adversely affected by electromagnetic frequency exposure. It can change or adversely affect the normal heartbeat. It has endocrine effects, and there's excess intracellular calcium, which you don't want, and cancer. The 35 separate scientific peer-reviewed papers in the literature showing hard evidence that electromagnetic frequency increases carcinogenesis, promotes progress in tumor development, and contributes to metastasis. And by the way, on the heart, it interferes with the electrical control of the heart that can produce tachycardia, bradycardia, arrhythmia, and abnormal heart palpitations. Think how many people wear their cell phone around their neck or in their pocket, which is impacting that, or sitting close to a computer all day. There's early onset Alzheimer's and dementia, and we're now seeing Alzheimer's being observed in people in their 30s. There's ADHD and autism that it also impacts. So everybody in America is affected who lives near one of these towers. So all over the city, you were just thinking, well, I don't like the way that looks. And these are just being put up everywhere. Just remember, 5G electromagnetic frequency radiation is all pervasive. And yet the mainstream media, in particular the New York Times, which has a collaborative agreement with the leading 5G provider Verizon, have no intention to warn the public about any of the scientific findings I just mentioned. So that's the abbreviated article that I was going to share with you today. Now, I want to get to some really interesting things. And by the way, tomorrow's show, Ed Dowell's going to be on, and we've already sent him a paper, a scientific paper, and asked him to respond to it on tomorrow's show. But we already have Dr. Malone responding, saying it's accurate. We've looked for other people who say it's accurate. The numbers will shock you. This has not been reported anywhere, and we will report it exclusively tomorrow and have an in-depth discussion on it. Plus, we're going to hear from someone tomorrow that you haven't heard of before, and this is Dr. Scott Youngblood, and he has three board certifications. And he's got some stuff to share with you as well. So tomorrow's show you will not want to miss. But we haven't done a lot of things recently because of all the intense programming I've done. So we're going to take some of the calls and letters and emails that you sent to Elizabeth. And that's good. And also I want to mention just something from the RARE Foundation. The Flemish government legitimizes and subsidizes the worldwide lobby organization, openly pursuing globalism, and is a big supporter of the World Economic Forum. But a major part of that government is now demanding that the Flemish government cancel its World Economic Forum membership. So that's good, because that's growing around the world. And hopefully we'll also see it in Italy and other countries. So, Rodney, let's play from some of the email that's come in to Elizabeth and see what people have to say, and I'll address each one as it comes.
Here's a question in from somebody who doesn't give their name, but it's quite personal. It starts, you met a close friend of mine back in the early 90s at Lake Homowack. You dated for some months and then ended it. Do you look back and ask if that was a good choice? Do you have any regrets about relationships you should have continued? I'm just curious, she says. My friend was the one who kept asking you for commitment or else, and you chose to let it go. And then we have a few.
On that, yes, I do remember that particular incident. And I do remember when I simply said, I'm sorry, but you should find someone else. But it led to a little aggressive behavior on this person's part, as if, well, I just gave you 3 months of my time, and now you're not willing to settle down, get married, and have children. And I said, no, I have a daughter, and my life is not about settling down. My life is about living every moment as much as I can, especially since so much of what I do is in the public interest. And so I remember one day there was particularly a large number of terminal patients, and it was a Sunday afternoon. I'd come in, done my run, had my lunch, and I must have had 17 calls that day. And this person was angry, you know, because I wasn't giving that attention to her, and she wanted to do something. And I said, okay, please be patient, and we can do that after this. And that's when this whole thing occurred. And then I stopped it. And I said, come over here. Here's a woman on the phone. She has terminal cancer. Everything she's tried has not worked. They're suggesting hospice care. She's very frustrated. She's very fearful. She doesn't want to die. And explain to her why me going out to do something now is more important than giving her tools that could save her life. Because that's frequently what I'm faced with. Where do I appropriate time to give to someone? Because I got to get it from somewhere, and I don't want to imbalance my life in the process. So it's a very full day, and everything has to fit, including who you're going to say no to. Imagine what it would be like to be on the other end. Your life is ending. The orthodoxy has failed, and you're alone, you're frustrated, you're fearful, you don't know what to do. How would you feel if someone says, right now, you're not the priority? I said, so I'm sorry. In my world, that person is the priority. And of course, that's part of what we see is when people's needs are not in alignment, and that's what you should know right up front in any relationship. What is it you want from me? What is it you expect from me? Now, there's nothing wrong with having expectations and needs from people, but what happens if you only bring that up later and not at the beginning when you really had a different agenda all along? So in my world, a relationship is never first. It is second. My work is always first. Because how in the world do you think I've been able to help as many people stay alive, reverse diseases, make major discoveries in a laboratory, when sometimes I was working all night to do that? No, it depends upon where you're at on the hedonic scale of life and also what your own life energy is and what you're wanting to get done. So that's why I say, before you start any relationship, try to find out and be as honest as you can with your own strengths and weaknesses, what you can and choose not to share. Otherwise, one day, you don't have a relationship of the two people creating what they can share together in the best way they can. You have one relationship, and when that fails, when someone doesn't meet an expectation, suddenly the person starts the blame game, and then a person starts having lower self-esteem and feeling, how did I fail? And then there's this whole torturous process we see in the United States, and probably in other countries as well, where a person shouldn't have been in a relationship with anyone else until they had a healthy relationship with themselves. That's all on that today. Now, I want to share some video clips with you, and then I'll do a little commentary on them. This, by the way, when was the last time we had a member of our Congress, Democrat or Republican? Remember, for me, it doesn't make a difference because I don't see that anything in the last 40 years has changed for the better. For the average person, for the working class person. It sure as dickens have changed for the professional class, and they know no bounds in greed and need. And the super rich and those who play with our lives as if our lives are insignificant because they have no compassion or empathy for the consequences when their ideas, oh, let's go invade a country. Oh, let's allow a carcinogen on the market. All the stupid things they do. Let's spend money we don't have and then create inflation. And which is not at 8.3%, it's more likely around 14% when you look at its cost, the inflationary cost across different levels like food, energy. Oh, and by the way, we also will say we're all for green, and yet everything we do actually increases our CO2 output. In fact, there was just a study out today showing that billionaires, we're only talking about a handful of billionaires, 125 wealthy individuals cause 393 million tons of CO2 emissions each year. That's right. The world's richest people cause huge, non-sustainable amounts of carbon emissions, unlike the ordinary citizen. And so they do more than 70% of the population. And yet, they're the ones who control all the investments, make all the money, and this was from Oxfam, and these billionaires have a collective $2.4 trillion stake in their investments, and over 150 million Americans couldn't write you a check for $400. They live week to week, and yet who's telling us what industry should close before there is an authentic transition at the humanistic and spiritual level? You don't close down gigantic plants, as bad as they are, until you create non-polluting industries so people can transition from one industry, be taught. That's the human way of doing it. That's the decent way of doing it. No, we just close it down, you go broke, we don't care what happens to you, live on the street, we don't care. Well, and yet they're the major polluters. They're doing the virtue shaming. People like Leonardo DiCaprio, who I think is a disgrace, and the others. They've used their positions of power and influence not to make it a better world. So back to this. I want you to hear this person, Claire Daly. She's a member of the European Union, and she doesn't want any more arms sell to Ukraine. But at the same time, in our country, nowhere on the ballot or nowhere in the speeches did any person left or right or far left or far right say, we're no longer going to support the military-industrial complex. We're going to cut back on all of it. We're going to audit it. The people who are responsible are going to go to jail. And we're going to use that money to rebuild America, to bring factories and work back into the American landscape. We're going to de-ghettoize the city. We're going to get people who are living in terrible conditions, nice conditions to live in once again. Oh, not a single member of Congress did that. Not even the hypocrite Bernie Sanders. Well, listen to what she has to say.
pro-Russian. It's common sense. The working class of Europe have nothing to gain from this war and everything to lose. And I find it laughable that those calling for arms to Ukraine never call for arms for the people of Palestine or for the people of Yemen. Unlike you, I oppose all war. I want it stopped. I make no apology for that, and I'm not going to be scapegoated and labelled for it. I'm not.
Good. Probably one of the most courageous public servants in the world. Good for her. And that's the way she's been her entire career. She doesn't do it for the politics because actually everyone in the political environment that she's in, almost everyone, can't stand her because they've all been compromised. This is about one of the most interesting discussions you're going to hear, and it's an honest discussion. We're only going to play about 8 minutes of it, The Great Reset and Transhumanism, because that's where everything is going. And that's why I keep emphasizing artificial intelligence. Well, I've got a clip on that. I don't know if we'll get to it today. But we need to know that there are people who you did not elect, you know nothing about, who tells you that your house, your car, your clothing, everything you own, they will own. Because you don't know what you're doing, because you're useless and stupid. Michael Moore just said that, Michael Moore just called 80 to 90 million Americans stupid. Really, Michael? What gives you the right to judge them? And what did you do when you were fawning all over Hillary Clinton, did a documentary on her in praise of her? Do you take any responsibility, or do you condemn the responsibility they refused to take on Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration for the destruction of Libya? That's just one example. I got a lot more. The answer is no. So how about stopping the self-righteous positioning of the elites in our society who walk the red carpets and then virtue shame anyone as if they know what they're talking about? He used to be a friend, no longer. So, Rodney, see if you can find Jimmy Dore's comments upon Michael Moore or Bill Maher. Bill's another one. Oh, God, I can't take Bill Maher. But that's okay. Other people enjoy him. That's fine. I only wish him well. But, boy, he's better get some more people in there who can actually debate him on these issues. In the interim, we're going to play this clip on the Great Reset because all of this is going to the Great Reset. So watch this happen. Go ahead.
This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit. And
Cover, Beyond the Cover.
Likewise. Now, Dennis, what we want to talk about today is this bookazine, which is a hybrid of a book and a magazine that we have put together regarding the Great Reset and transhumanism.
Yes.
So obviously we explain in this bookazine that the Great Reset is a very bad thing, that it would be dystopian, that could actually result in the abolition of mankind.
Right.
In a nutshell, could you elaborate on that that warning and also provide a bit of evidence to show that viewers should be really concerned about what would happen if the architects behind this reset were able to bring it about?
Well, the first thing that I think everyone's going to know about the Great Reset, and most people have heard the propaganda, and that's exactly what it was, coming from the World Economic Forum a few years ago, associated with the Great Reset plan, was the idea that you will own nothing and be happy. That should ring alarm bells for every American and really for every person on the planet, because you own the product of your own labor in a broad sense. And when you work, you should be able to take the fruits of that labor and turn them into the goods and services in exchange for those goods and services that you think you need in order to ensure your happiness, the happiness and safety and security of your family. The Great Reset, as proposed by the World Economic Forum, would do away with all of that, first of all. And that is really, in essence, doing away with very fundamental human rights. So from its very basis, it's an effort to first deny and do away with the things that make you human, including your autonomy. Because if you don't have the ability to own property, you are no longer autonomous. And along with the Great Reset comes its corollaries, which are lack of privacy. If you own nothing and have to survive purely on rental, then you are offshoring, in a sense, your privacy to whoever is providing you those goods and services that you no longer can own and have no longer any control over. So you are ipso facto giving up your privacy in that type of regime. So that, again, is another dimension of the dehumanization aspect of the Great Reset program. Then ultimately, the idea along with the Great Reset is the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is, again, a program promoted by the World Economic Forum in concert with the Great Reset. And that has with it certain technologies that they require in order for that Fourth Industrial Revolution to take place. Those technologies include much more rapid communication with higher broadband and higher bandwidth capabilities. We know that as 5G, but what's coming next is 6G, and that's within the next few years. Nanotechnology, artificial intelligence, and genetic engineering through CRISPR-Cas9 methodologies. These things all fundamentally, if fully implemented, transform what it means to be human. The great architect of the idea of what this transformation is, his name is Ray Kurzweil. He's a scientist and chief engineer with Google. Mm-hmm. He has called this the singularity and the merger of the human essence with cyber technology that he envisions. He calls it singularity, and he says it's so dramatically efficient as a change, and it represents such a break with the past that we can't see or tell what happens beyond it, because all that has come before has been wiped out and replaced. Well, what comes before is humanity. So we're really talking about, through the Great Reset methodology, the Great Reset ideology, we're talking about the abolition, in a real sense, of what it means to be human. And what comes next would be non-human, by definition, if that's the case. So they're really talking about what seems fantastic to those of us who prefer to and currently live in the normal world. They're really talking about the abolition of what it means to be a person, to be a human. And that's something we all need to come to grasp with, because I don't know that we are being offered a choice in this matter. It's really being proposed and implemented without people having a choice in that coming to fruition in their lives.
Well, I do want to talk.
The full video is over 18 minutes, and it's all of it's interesting. But they are correct. Now, they'll sugarcoat it, and they'll say that, well, look, if we have some control over your body, then we can help you if you have a heart condition or a liver condition. That's how they'll sell it. And or if you have emotional problems, all we need to do now is a small hole in your head, and we can put this chip in there and help you with your neurological conditions. Think of all the people right now who are depressed and anxious, who don't know who they are as a human being, don't know what the world is for, because they're only a spectator to it. They're using its resources and contributing nothing in return. So for that group of people, that's very enticing. Just think of all the people right now that don't want to have sex, because there might be, they think too old or not attractive. But now with robotics, the robotics are at a level right now, as we speak, that you literally could not tell the difference between the robots that they now have versus the ones that look like robots and sound like robots just a year and a half ago. And if you wanted to have a robot, and some of these robots can change our program to change their personality 1,000 times. And so anything you want, they'll give you. Anything, any desire, any pleasure. What do you think it's going to do to people? Look what porn did to people. All right? And so you stop giving to society. You're there now just to take. And it's just a pure hedonistic dream. You're at the back end of the hedonic scale. And that's unfortunate, because that takes you away from Maslow's principles of the eight hierarchical orders, where the highest is transcendence. And below that is self-actualization in the aesthetic aspects of life. So think of all the people that are just caught on how they want to look and reshaping their bodies. And we're not even at the level right now of belonging and loving, which is his third level of life. The first is physical. I got to have a house. I got to have food. I've got to have a job. I've got to have a car. I've got to have transportation. I have to have quality of life. That's the primal. And when that's threatened, society goes into a tribal mindset. And that's why you see people who feel that, what do I have to lose? I might as well kill myself. Or I'm just going to let my decisions be made by Rush Limbaugh or Rachel Maddow or someone else. You no longer feel responsible for making decisions because you don't have what is known as the esteem level and the belonging and love level. Those are missing out of your life. And yet you had them at one time, possibly growing up, and now you don't have them. You had them when you were part of a family, but now you don't have them. And now you have this big empty angst happening. So we better understand that people will react differently depending upon the circumstances in their life. And you want to see a society go down quickly. Look at our society right now with this balkanization and fractionalizing people based upon their gender, race, their income. It's a class war. And this is all being perpetrated by those who can control it and sit outside of it. Like they're the emperor watching the gladiators, and we're the gladiators, and everything seems to be a thumb down, which actually didn't exist then. But you end up, you know, sacrificing yourself, and you think, for what? And yet, let me explain something. Everything in your life, if I were to have a form, and by the way, I've done this one-on-one with some of the world's most famous and powerful people, billionaires, who've sat across me who were sick. And we've had these discussions. Sir, when was the last time you were in a working-class neighborhood? I haven't been. Why should I? Well, how about the shoes you're wearing, and the socks, and the pants, and the belt, and the eyeglasses, and your cell phone? Well, and how about the house, the mansion, all your mansions? And how about the airplane you're flying? Every single thing that you touch every day, a person you don't give a damn about, you don't know anything about, caused that to be there for you. And yet you consider them worthless and useless. Without them, you couldn't exist. You'd be no different than a feral human being, scrapping around in garbage cans because you don't know how to function and can't in the real world. That's the entire, no exceptions, ruling class in the world. Now, you haven't sat with them. I have. Thousands of them. And I know how absolutely decrepitude their mindset is and how selfish they are and self-absorbed. You see it in Kanye West and these other people and Elon Musk and so many others, Michael Bloomberg. All they can do is possess more and more, and they never seem to be happy about anything. Look at how many relationships they go through. Want to take advice from them? Wow. So if a person doesn't know anything about or care anything about the people who allow them to have the lifestyle they exist in, then think about what it was like when you were growing up and I was growing up in a working class neighborhood where you knew your neighbors and you knew their families and you knew what it was like and you worked together. And yet everyone, the media, the political parties are all dumping on the working class people. And so what happens when people no longer have their security, afraid to walk out in the neighborhood? They do exactly is what we have seen doing. They live in denial, and they vote against their own best interest. Much like the people in Jonestown, if you were to go up to a person just before they drank the poisonous Kool-Aid and laid down to die, if you were to say, there's another way of looking at life, you're looking at it through the mindset of a sociopath and a psychopath, actually, and there are positive route, they would still not put down the Kool-Aid. So that's why the nurse couldn't get any of the 5,500,000 nurses to join her in reporting how many deaths occurred and injuries occurred. She was alone. When you no longer represent the dynamic of life that you're living in the dimension, then you're considered a threat if you say anything that shows them in a bad light. Corporate, government, doesn't matter. And so you're thrown out and destroyed. So all the more power to those who are willing to stand out, even if you're standing alone and taking on the entire establishment, including frequently your own family, because they are living on a primordial level where there is no transcendence, there's no spiritual, there's no deeper contemplation, there's no mindfulness, there's only brutal, raw power. And rejecting anything that their brain has been conditioned to filter out that could help them. And hence, don't expect anything change because it won't. And it hasn't. You cannot show me, and I've looked, how major groups of people, working class people and the poor, have benefited from the policies implemented by either administrations. The administration is irrelevant, and they've got you looking in the wrong direction. Just something to think about. And now that we're going from there, where they're no longer hiding their motives, to full public disclosure, they're calling you, quote, you're worthless and useless, and you will be in a meta with a head set on, like Mark Zuckerberg. You'll be in that meta universe until you die. But here's just a reaction to Jimmy Dore reacting to last Friday night's unlistenable and vile opinions of one popular liberal. And this is not about being liberal. It's about how they coat themselves that they should be protected from criticism because of their political ideology, Bill Maher.
So we all see these, right? They can't get enough of this. Democracy is on the ballot.
Oh, yes.
Because the GOP is authoritarian. Democracy is on the ballot. Even Bill Maher, I couldn't get through this. Kurt sent me this video. I can only get through this much of it. Here we go.
We had a good run. I know that's not really a rule, but since everything in America is about to change in a very fundamental way, rules are about to go out the window. Tuesday is election day, and I know I should probably tell...
What rule? Uh-huh. Bill, what rule is going out the window? What rule? They never say. What part, what rule?
You to vote in what, honest to God, is really the most important election ever. So, okay, yes, you should vote. And it should be for the one party that still stands for democracy preservation.
At first I thought he was joking. He's not joking. Bill, I know you're really rich, and I know I'm really jealous of you and your status and that you have a show that actually influences the culture. That is true. But you have your head so far up your ass, you could see Russia. Because the democracy in the United States was stolen a long time ago, Bill. Princeton already proved it. They did a study that we live in an oligarchy. That's not hyperbole. That's not some kind of cute thing or a clever saying or a glib can remark. A scientific fact that your democracy has been stolen from you, Bill, which is why 80% of workers live paycheck to paycheck. Half the country can't afford a $400 emergency. And workers haven't had a raise since 1980. That's why, and we still don't have health care like the rest of the world. We still don't have a living wage, and we have people living under every bridge. We don't live in a democracy, which is why we can send $100 billion to the most corrupt country in Europe, while we still don't take care of our own people, and they go bankrupt when they get sick and live on the street. So we don't live in a democracy. This idea that somehow one party cares about democracy while the others doesn't. You know, they both serve the same corporatocracy, which is what we live in, an oligarchy run by corporations. We now live, as Chris Hedges has explained, we've experienced a corporate coup d'etat in slow motion. And instead of having a dictator, the dictator has now been replaced with the nameless, faceless corporate state, which controls every part of our being. They control our free speech. They control what medical treatments we get to experience. They get to mandate us to have experimental medical. We don't live in a goddamn democracy. That was taken from you a long time ago. And this is just him repeating propaganda. And he's being dumb on purpose because he's wealthy and he doesn't really have any problems he want government to solve. But Kurt?
Okay. Sorry that they didn't edit out some of those expletives. But understand that he is correct. For our WBA audience, we're going to let you go to the news. For everyone else, your turn to talk back on these issues. Give us a call. I'd like to hear from you. We have a lot of deep-thinking, well-informed people in this audience. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And while we're getting your calls in, I want to just play a little bit of this clip from Neil Oliver. I'll only play about 3 minutes because he makes some of his most important statements about they, meaning the World Economic Forum and those people like him, BlackRock, Vanguard, the people that really control everything because they own everything, what he has to say. Give us a call. I'd like to hear from you.
I prophesize that if you let things run their course in that monopoly way, you end up with one person having all the farms, all the land, all the houses, and everybody else has been driven away. And that one, you know, he's warning. If you go on like this, one of you will end up all on your own with everything. And then where will he be?
No calls, guy.
You know, Jesus comes in and makes that first sermon, and he unrolls the Isaiah scroll, and he says, I am here to settle debts. And that's why they killed him, because, that, you know, that's a big problem for wealthy people. What do you mean? Who's this joker who says we've got to... I've just gathered up all the money. Now this joker says we've got to give it all back. To hell with that.
Yeah.
Get me a plank of wood. And so that's why he made the enemies that he made. The point is, there's an ancient understanding that always you get to a point where people are too indebted and you just have to write it off. Because if you don't, that's what brought down Rome. Rome fell in the end because they let it run too far and too many people were too indebted. And you might, the elite, the handful might think that's great because they end up owning everything and everybody else owns nothing and they're happy, except they're not. And the walls come tumbling down. So 4,000 years ago, we knew that there comes a point where you have to settle the debts, write them off. And we've forgotten that. And I think the universe is telling us, in the midst of all of this, we're looking at a financial disaster coming down the line. The economy is tanking. If it hasn't tanked, it's going to tank.
No calls, Gary.
The debts have got to a point where they can't be repaid. And lo and behold, I think the financial world has to look at a new reality, has to think the unthinkable.
I agree with that. By the way, I'm still waiting on calls, 888-874-4888. Here's what I would add to that. We have been indoctrinated to follow their system, their protocols. And look at how obedient most people were. About 75% of Americans were obedient when they were told what to do during COVID, including when it destroyed their family businesses they had had for generations, when it wiped out all their savings account, when people became depressed and committed suicide, when we had more people die of alcoholism and fentanyl and opiate overdoses than ever before in our history. Did you see anyone apologize? No. The wealthy and power don't apologize. They try to cover up and hide their mistakes. But now their mistakes are being exposed by the very people they tried to destroy, who happen to have been their colleagues and their peers, like Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullen, Dr. Cole, etc. And it's getting worse for them. On tomorrow's show, you'll see how bad it really is, and you will not be able to believe it. And I don't know what Ed Dowd's going to say. I'll find out tomorrow, because he brings a whole new dimension on how bad it was. But listen to what Oliver said. He said, we have too much debt. How many times have I told you we have over $230 trillion in debt? We have 1,100% debt to gross domestic product at the federal level. It's between 900 and 1,100%. And the average person has no way they're going to get out of their debt. So why not just have a debt forgiveness? Guess who's going to come up with that idea? The World Economic Forum. How do you think they're going to convince people, give us everything you own and you'll just rent? If you need to cook something, well, that day we'll deliver you the pots and pans and skillets, etc., and the silverware. And then when you're finished, we'll take it back. And you'll pay rental for everything, but you'll have no debt. Mark my words that the way they're going to make this work, they're going to sell to the people is, what if we wiped away all your debt? Your college debt, your credit card debt, your mortgage debt, all debt gone. And then suddenly people start thinking, well, that's not too bad. Look how much stress we're under now. Watch how they play that. That's an old canard, and they're good at it. I don't see any calls coming in, so we're going to end our show just a minute early today. And I have a powerful program for you tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. Stuff that is going to really, for those of you who are activists and citizen journalists, you're going to get a lot of material that you can work with. For the professionals in this audience, the physicians, chemists, scientists, nurses, you're going to be given the full and total picture of why everything that you accepted you shouldn't have and knew you did. Now let's stop giving them control over our choices. You have the truth on your side. They have lies on theirs. That's tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.